Okay, today I want to discuss with you something from the parasha. This week's parasha, we have mitzvah of truma. Let me read you the pasuk. Kein tarimu gam atem. It's in Perek Yitches. Pasuk. I'll go back one pasuk. Ve'elach laviv damer v'amarta aleihem ki sichu meitz meishos hamaser. Okay, referring to truma smaiser. Ashnasati luchem meitah benachalaschem v'harei moisem bimenu truma sashem maaser min hamaser. We have a mitzvah of maaser min hamaser. The Yisrael gives the Levi 10% of the produce, and the Levi now gives the Kohen 10% of what he has received, what we call Trumas Maser. This Trumas Maser has the same status like the Truma that the Yisrael gives the Kohen, the Chamle Min HaYokev, and the part that you lift up from the winery, from the vats. You give Truma from wine as well. And then the pasuk says, "Kain terimu gam atem trumas Hashem." So too the Levim should follow the rules of truma, just like the Yisraelim give truma to the Kohen. So too the Levim should give truma from what they received. And here's the key words: "Unisatem imenu, you shall give from it as trumas Hashem le'aharoin ha'kohen." What's the problem with this pasuk? When was this pasuk said to Klal Yisrael? When they were in the desert. When does the mitzvah of truma begin? When they come to Eretz Yisrael. When did Aaron die? Before they went in. So how are you going to give truma smaiser to Aaron HaKohen? It never happened. So what does it mean? So Chazal learned from this pasuk. It's a very, very critical pasuk in Chazal's eyes. Chazal learned from this the makar for Tchiyas HaMeisim. This is parasha, one of the main, if not the main source for Tchiyas HaMeisim. There are many Rimozim. Oz Yosher Moshe Avnei Yisrael Sashir Azos. Oz, B'loshen Osit. Oz Yosher, B'loshen Osit. Is that a real Mekar for Tchiyas HaMeisim? Not necessarily, because Oz, that's a way of style of writing. Oz then, Yosher Moshe lifted up his heart to sing Shir. In fact, Rashi, the Pshat, does not learn it's a reference to Tchiyas HaMeisim, it's an expression. It's a way of speech. His heart was uplifted, and it's written B'loshen Osid because that's how it's written. But it's not Muchuch that it's a reference that it's going to be Tchiyas HaMeisim. Chazal say, no, there's a remes. It's a remes after we already know that there will be Tchiyas HaMeisim. Okay, there are a handful of other sources in Chumash and Tanakh, and the fact that probably the best source comes from Pasuk in Daniel. We learned the Pasuk in Daniel not that long ago. Let me actually. That doesn't mean it's Tchiyas HaMeisim. That can simply mean that the day will come when the world will come to an appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but doesn't mean that the dead will come back. Doesn't say anywhere in that pasuk it'll be Tchiyas HaMeisim. The world will reach, but one of the main pasuk in Daniel, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Beis, V'rabim, mi sheinei admas ofar yokitsu, many people who are sleeping in the earth will wake up. Eile lechaye oilam, some will wake up for eternal life, the Eile, and some lecherpois lideraon olam, for utter disgrace. There will be Tchiyas HaMeisim. This is a very fascinating concept that wicked people will also come back to life in order to suffer. Rav Schwab, at the end of Sefer Yeshaya, writes that is a very, very controversial idea. Is that Tchiyas HaMeisim is going only to be for the extremely righteous and the extremely wicked. Those that are in the middle don't need Tchiyas HaMeisim. Why? Because the person has to receive reward and punishment. There's reward and punishment in the other world. We don't know how this works, we don't know what it is, but there is such a thing in the other world. But the ultimate reward, to receive the perfect reward, only can be in this world. Hard to believe. Punishment exists in the other world, but to receive the ultimate punishment only can be achieved in this world. So Shrabi writes, he based on the pasuk in Yeshaya, and really it's what it says in this pasuk very here. Eile lechaye olam, the eile lecherpois lideraon olam, the two extremes of Tchiyas HaMeisim, to receive the ultimate world, the ultimate reward, and the ultimate punishment. Everyone else in the middle, they don't need to come back. They can get what they deserve in the next world. Okay, but we have here in this pasuk, you'll give the miser to Aaron HaKohen. How could Aaron died? He's going to come back to life, and we'll give him Trumas Miser, the Inyan of Tchiyas HaMeisim. So I would like to discuss now a few ideas relating to Tchiyas HaMeisim. First of all, it's important to take note that every single day we recite two brachos in reference to Tchiyas HaMeisim. The first bracha is Elokai Neshama. Elokai neshama shnasati b'tahari ata v'rasata yitzata ata nefachta b'ata v'sham berkiv ata asid litla v'ata asid litla mimeni uli hachazirabi la asilava. You will take it away from me. You will return it to me. La asilava calls man shasham berkiv v'chulu v'chulu. And then we conclude bracha tasham machazir neshamos lifgadim esim. So we make a bracha every single day. One of the first brachas we make a bracha on tachias hanesim. We say that in reference to waking up in the morning, because Chazal tell us that sleep, every time we go to sleep, it's a taste. It's a taste of death. Sleep is death. Thus, waking up in the morning, is a taste of Tchiyas HaMesim. Some want to give numbers. Sleep is 1/60th of death. But waking, what?
I must have a full meal.
You must what?
I must have a full meal.
I don't understand.
You only have a taste
of Tchiyas HaMesim. It's interesting. Sleeping, it's very interesting. I once read that sleeping is very gradual. We know that sleep, the more you sleep, the deeper sleep you feel, the deeper state of rest you fall into. What's it called? Rapid eye movement, REM. It takes a long time to reach REM. You have to sleep for a good 5-6 hours if you're lucky to reach in a very comfortable state, to reach a state of REM, to reach that state. Chazal say that dreams, if a person has a chance of communicating with the next world through dreams, it takes place in what we call in the state of REM. Okay, dreams that a person has when he just begins to doze off, and Chazal do not attribute much significance to those dreams. The modern day poskim don't attribute any significance to dreams at all. But if you want to give any significance to a dream, it's during the right before you wake up in the morning. Those are the most significant. But interesting is that waking up, there's no such thing as gradual waking up. Waking up is one shot. It's a one moment. It's a fascinating idea. To sleep, it's gradual. To wake up is an instant, which flies against everything we know about this world. In this world, you can destroy the world in an instant. Just launch a nuclear missile, the world will be destroyed in an instant. To build, you want to build a building, right? You want to build a building. How many months does it take into planning, into designing, into laying the foundation, the bricks? Anything that we human beings create takes enormous effort. To destroy, an instant. A person can spend his whole life building up a reputation, and then in one moment, just one headline online, finished. And there's no recovery. Well, there's no recovery. That's the mitzias, and yet this is a fascinating phenomenon. When it comes to sleep, it's just the opposite. To turn off, right? To depart this world, for a human being to depart means death. Death, part of death is sleep. Sleep is a form of death. And we know sleep, it's a fact, you just can't turn off. There's no such thing as turning off. You want to go to sleep, it's a very gradual process. You close your eyes, takes time until you become unconscious, and then we know as a fact, there are different madrigos of four different stages in scientific terms. There are four different stages of sleep until you reach REM. Okay, until you get deeper and deeper. And to wake up, there's no such thing as I first return to stage 4 and then to stage 3. A launch, right? Right? 5, 4, 3, we have engines, ignition, this. It doesn't happen. It's instant. Instant. That is something to focus on. That life and death are obviously spiritual, because life and death operate with rules that are completely contradicted by everything physical we know. Like we're learning in Eof, right? The difference between spirituality and physicality. Physicality is temporary. Spirituality is infinite. Here is an example. Doesn't follow the rules. Sleep and waking up happens in a second. Going to sleep takes a long time to tune down, to turn off. Fine. Now let's discuss. Let's discuss a couple of issues. First, I have here a safe. This is a fascinating safe. I got this many, many years ago. Eitzrois Acharis Hayam. Everything you wanted to know about. about death and about this is Yehuda. I don't know how to pronounce either. It's Chiyun Ches Yud Vav Nun. Chayun? Chayun? Chayun, probably. That if you would write such a sefer, you write a sefer like this today, no one would buy it. Because no one today is qualified to talk about death and Olam Haba. It was really originally four svarim. It's now two volumes, and it's two volumes which once were four. It basically talks about everything that happens to the neshama when he dies, all the parts of the process, and then the other sefer is about everything that's going to happen to the world, the end of the world, the achris hayom with Mashiach, tchias hamesim, so on and so forth. Now, anyone who writes about these things would be banned. Would be right away brushed off.
All you could do is collect the speculation.
So pretty much that's what he did. So shockingly, the reason why he made it, first of all, he has a very nice, today everything is pushing with these nice fancy covers, but this was published at least 15 years ago, they didn't make, it wasn't installed to make slum with color covers. It wasn't installed those days. Today already it is. But he has here haskamas from Rabbi Eliashiv, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Arbach, and Rav Wozner. He has Rav Scheinberg. He has over here some of the most heavy duty haskamas you could possibly have gotten at the time when it was published. What he has basically done is he's taken this subject and he's really dug up every Maimer Chazal and dealt with it in a very delicate and
nothing,
chidushim. Oh, what are you talking about? Boiling? What are you mixing in boiling? He has a lot of footnotes. He quotes a lot of things. Obviously, when you're going to, he's embellished it with a few things of his own. But he has done, obviously, a very, very good job where this, he has very, very, the chashva haskamas on how he has treated this subject matter, which is a very mystical, which no one really knows anything about. Okay, so let me just present you, he has one little chapter on Tchias. So let me just present you some of the, run through some of the issues that he deals with, and then let me also have a chapter here in from Rav Dvorkis in Tzfonis HaParsha. This is the newest edition, the most recent edition, only like 6 months old. He also has a section on Tchias HaMesim in the sixth parsha. I think the two together very much complement each other when discussing this topic. Okay, let's first discuss. First of all, the question is, when will Tchias HaMesim occur? Okay, so I'm just, everything here is sourced, there are Gemaris, and there are Rishonim and Rechronim. Basically, the consensus system, everyone put together, it's going to occur at this time called Yimos HaMashiach, the beginning. I shouldn't say the beginning of Yimos HaMashiach. Let me make something clear. He presents here very clearly from many, many, many sources. There are going to be two tikufos of Tchias HaMesim. Two. An earlier and a later. When I talk about these two tikufos, that means in the world the way we know it. It could be there's going to be a third Tchias HaMesim at a much later point in time, which we're not even going there. But let's refer to today, right? Hey Alofim, Tavshin, Ayin Dalet, it's within our grasp. Okay, the year 6000 is not so far away. It's within our grasp. We see technology, stem cell research. We see amazing things that are being done, cloning, stem cell. We see concepts of Tchias HaMesim and organ transplants. It's not so far removed to us to believe, if someone would tell you that they've come up with it, they can take some DNA from a grave, and they can, from that DNA, they can make a golem. They can make a person. And the person comes to life. Is that person the original person? I don't know. But it's not so far-fetched. We already have, already science has shown us that Tchias HaMesim may very well be something natural, something that is scientific to some degree. Okay. But in the beginning of Yimos HaMashiach, there will be a Tchias HaMesim. And then there will be a Tchias HaMesim, a second Tchias HaMesim. When is that second Tchias HaMesim? So he presents a long list of opinions. Now that, those opinions are really based on how long will Yimos HaMashiach last. One opinion, it will only last for 40 years. I think this is 40 years. 40 years. Another opinion says Yimos HaMashiach will last for 70 years. A third opinion says it will last for 3 generations. Now, how long is a generation? That's subject to dispute. That's subject to interpretation. What is a generation? 3 generations that span each other, don't span each other. 70 years. What does it mean, 3 generations? It's a very vague term. Whatever it means. A fourth opinion says the second chiasis will occur in the year at the year 7,000, at the end of 6,000. So we're dealing over here that if the Yimos HaMashiach is going to be today, so that we're dealing with more than 1,000 years until the second Tchias HaMeisah. So the basic point I want to make over here at this point is, there are two, this everyone agrees, and but the consensus, the way he presents it, at least in the Sefer, is there's going to be a double dosage of Tchias HaMeisah, an early Tchias HaMeisah and a late Tchias HaMeisah. A Tchias HaMeisah at the beginning of Yimos HaMashiach and Tchias HaMeisah at the end of Yimos HaMashiach. How long is Yimos HaMashiach? No one knows. 40 years, 70 years, 3 generations, 1,000 years, whatever it is. Who will rise at the first Tchias HaMeisah and who will rise at the second Tchias HaMeisah? He makes it very clear that the first Tchias HaMeisah will be very limited. Only for the greatest tzaddikim. Aaron, what it says in our week's parsha, when the satem la Aaron ha-koyen, Aaron and Moshe, the avos, the real deal. The real tzaddikim will rise. Can you imagine living? Let's say it would happen today. Yimos HaMashiach. Ordinary people, this generation will be zoicha to have. There's not going to be a big, we always wonder, there's going to be Tchias HaMeisah, where are we going to put everyone? Right? Can you imagine, where are you going to put millions of people? How are you going to get online to go to Moshe Rabbeinu? If the whole world's going to come back in one shot, no, he says that's not going to happen. It's going to be very limited. Can you imagine, our generation, everyone will be lining up, it's not so far-fetched, how many Jews are there in the world today, will be lining up to see Moshe Rabbeinu, everyone will have their iPhone, cell phone, taking pictures, taking pictures, selfies, Moshe, can you imagine, one of us, Moshe, can I get a selfie with you, Moshe?
Obama.
Moshe, can we be massive such a thing, but that's what it says, only the greatest of the great will come back to life, at the beginning of Yimos HaMashiach, in order to do what? To provide us with something that we desperately need. It's shocking. Leadership. To tell us what's wrong. To tell us how to fix all of our problems. Chinuch, Shidduchim, and the list goes on and on and on. Us, the people in this room. No, now, Yimos HaMashiach, we're already holding Kema Yimos HaMashiach, we're now already Yimos HaMashiach. That's what it says. There's only going to be Tchias HaMeisah for Tzadikim in order to guide and lead the people of the generation. The simple people living, I know one simple, the people living in the time of Yimos HaMashiach, they're going to be God. And then, the people we're going to be under their influence. Can you imagine what we're going to have? This generation, you're going to have the greatest of the greatest. Can you imagine the difference of Yerushalayim, Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Dor Ikvus of the Mashiach? It's an incredible concept. Extreme opposites. Moshe, who's present at Har Sinai, and his generation is going to be guarding the people living, the simple people living, in the Mashiach, who are the furthest removed from Matan Torah possible. And then Yimos HaMashiach will run its course, whatever that time is. And at the end of Yimos HaMashiach, there will be a massive Tchias HaMeisah for everyone else. Anyone who is not begeder at Tzadik Gomor. And that includes every now. He does say that the Gemara says Beferish Ame Haaretz are not coming back. Okay, Ame Haaretz, Ame Rasam are not coming back. That, what does that mean? What does the scary thing means? In order to come back, mitzvos will not help you. No, that's what it says. That's the way he explains it here. Is that you need the zuchus of Torah. It's a pasuk that the Tal Oros. Okay, I can't remember every little detail. That a kital oros talecha ve'eretz refohim tapel, based upon Mar Mechazal, the key ingredient that is necessary to have the zchus of Tchias HaMeisah is the zchus of Torah, the zchus of mitzvos is not enough to qualify to come back for the second Chias HaNesim. What is the Zchus Torah? It doesn't mean mamish knowing Shas. It just means having a connection to Talmud Torah, either through actually learning Torah, through supporting Torah, or even appreciating Torah. Having some connection with an appreciation of the learning and the studying of Torah. Again, Torah, meaning Talmud Torah, contrast to Asiyas HaMitzvos. Noshim, they're not chayiv in Talmud Torah. That's not true. Noshim are chayiv in Torah to know the mitzvos that they're mechuyiv in. And even the Gemara gives many examples, the appreciation and the assistance that they provide to Talmidei Chachamim, that certainly qualifies. Another condition he makes, another exception, a person that does not have the zechus of Torah, and does not have the Nezlus, also has a merit. There are sources of Kiddush Shem Shema. A person that died because he was Jewish, he died, he was Moser Atzma Lemisa, Kiddush Shem Shemayim, even if he's completely lacking any Zechus Torah, is another exception when he's Zeche to Tchias HaMesim. Okay, that is not going into. When will the Beis Hamikdash be built? That's another issue, which in this chapter we're not going into. It's all subject to debate, different opinions, and as the Rambam says, no one really knows it anyway.
This is not part of
That's part of Yimos HaMashiach. There's going to be a Yimshiach ben Dov, Yimshiach ben Yosef, Yimshiach ben Dov. There's going to be the Bayis Shlishi. How all of these things will play out, I don't know. It's very complicated. There are many opinions, and as the Rambam says, no one really knows, so it's not Gedaita. But we'll focus on the topic of Tchias HaMesim. There are two Tchias HaMesims in the beginning of Yimos HaMashiach and the end of Yimos HaMashiach, and the first is for Tzadikim and the end is for everyone else, which requires the Zchus Torah, the Zchus of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Now, what exactly now when there will be Tchias? Now, this is a very popular, well-known machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban. When there will be Tchias HaMesim, whether it's the first or the second, how long will the person live after there's Tchias HaMesim? So this is a very popular machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, that almost virtually everyone that talks about Tchias HaMesim, they happen to mention these two opinions. The Rambam says it's only going to be temporary. A person will come back to life, Tchias HaMesim will be restored, whatever that means, come back to life, he'll live. How long will he live? No one knows. He'll live for 50 years, 70 years, 100 years, 1,000 years. But eventually, the Rambam says, all good things come to an end. Eventually, even after Tchias HaMesim, a person will have to die again. And that's it, he'll die, and then his neshama will go into the Olam HaEmes, Olam HaNitzchi. This is, the Rambam is very famous for this opinion. The Ramban strongly disagrees. The Ramban says the person will be Tchias HaMesim, and whoever is Zarech Tchias HaMesim will basically live forever. And we don't know what it means, live forever. Who's to live forever? All of the commentators are very busy, as if we know anything, whether anything means anyway, what Tchias HaMesim means it altogether, are very busy trying to figure out what exactly is the root disagreement between the Rambam and the Rambam. Do they really disagree? What are we referring to? Everyone seems to quote, I saw this from the Rav Chutner. Rav Chutner has a very extensive piece on this machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, where the Rav Chutner says that most people misunderstood the Rambam, what he means something else what people understand. I try to decipher, but my limited knowledge and limited time, I was unable to really get a grasp upon this piece of Pacha Yitzchak, which I'm not sure it's in Pacha Yitzchak, but this piece from the Rav Chutner, which appears to be very popular in this topic of the Machlokes, the Rambam and the Rambam. So you shouldn't walk away from this discussion without being aware of these two opinions. What will happen after there is Tchias HaMesim? Is it limited or is it infinite? Now, where will Tchias HaMesim occur? Another major debate among the commentators. Some are of the opinion it will only occur in Eretz Yisrael. It has to occur in the whole Admas Kodesh. And that is why today, many people will insist, if they could afford, they only will be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Because they don't want, because Tchias HaMesim, according to many opinions, will take place. Now let's say a person, there are many great tzaddikim, they're not buried in Eretz Yisrael, they're buried in Kutz Le'aretz. How will they be Tchias HaMesim? So that opinion holds that their bones bones will roll. Their bones will roll in the ground in the caves somehow until they come to Eretz Yisrael, and it is a painful process in order for the bones to arrive in Eretz Yisrael. And Gilgal Atzamos, but it has to, Tchias Mesim can only be in the Holy Land. Other opinions disagree. And they hold there will be Tchias Mesim in Chutz Liaretz. So when you go past the Inn Tomorrow, on your way to the airport, go to the Inn Tomorrow, pick up some people. There are many Kedoshim along in all the many cemeteries there. Go to Elmont, pick up some people, there will be Tchias, they'll come to life here. In America, in Europe, all over the world, and they will then have to be transported. El I will have a heyday. Think of all those tickets I'm going to have to sell to transport the people here in America to Eretz Yisrael. Other opinions. What? Other opinions say this is very fascinating. That no, there will be Tchias Mesim in Chutz Liaretz, as bizarre as it gets, but not above ground. There's going to be a Tchias Mesim below ground. And there'll be caves and tunnels, and the people below are going to have to walk. They're going to have to walk from underground to Yerushalayim. It's a very long walk. The last time anyone tried to walk across the under the Atlantic, it's a very long walk to go from America underground, but the Tchias Mesim will occur. So there are three opinions. Gilgal Atzamos, you don't have to walk. The bones will roll by themselves to Eretz Yisrael and be resurrected there. Or the person will be resurrected below ground and will walk on his own feet to Eretz Yisrael underground caves and tunnels, or Tchias HaMesim will be right here in America, Chutz Liaretz, and then from here the people will be transported to Eretz Yisrael, or who says it'll be whatever the situation will be, whatever we're having. Okay.
I just went to Levaya,
yeah,
and before they started
Mikvah,
yes, they put a stick in his finger.
In his fingers?
Yeah,
he said travel. A traveling stick.
A traveling stick. I never heard this. Every Chevra Kadisha has very unique minhagim. It's Rai Nechanami. It's a fascinating thing, the minhagim. There are many different minhagim.
A credit card,
okay. Now, here are some very interesting questions. Okay, well, there's a lot of the mafarshim are fallible in these in Yanim. When a person comes back to life at the time of Tchias HaMesim, does he need to be purified from Parah Aduma water? In other words, does a person contaminate himself? A person who comes in contact with the dead is Tamei Meis, correct? A person who's Tamei Meis may not enter the Beis HaMikdash until he has sprinkled upon him the Parah Aduma water. On the third day, on the seventh day, there's a process of Tyra. When a child is born, a newborn baby comes into the world, the mother gives birth, is a newborn baby Tamei or Tar? Of course he's Tar. You never heard a newborn baby requiring Nechatas? No such thing. A newborn baby, the fact that he's a newborn baby, is Tar. So to what status do we give a person that comes back to life through Tchias HaMesim? Is he considered to be Kikotan Shenoyla Dami? Or do we consider that he's just a continuation of his past? And in the past he was Tamei Meis, or worse, when he died, he himself contaminated his own body. So will the Mason that come back at the time of Tchias HaMesim, will they be subject to the requirement of Parah Aduma water? This is subject to much debate. And it all borders on something much more essential. What does it mean, Tchias HaMesim? It's Tchias HaMesim Kikoton Shenoyla Dami. It's like a brand new body. Or is it a continuation of the old body? Now, we have a tradition that tzaddikim, all these spooky stories, that tzaddikim, their bodies don't decay. Is it true? Is it not true? No one really did all the tests. All right, they have stories, but in this, our generation, we know that this doesn't have, it's not, we don't have tzaddikim on this caliber where we even fathom that it can be true in our generation, but in previous generations, there were traditions that very great tzaddikim, their bodies do not decay. The body does not decay. If it's really true about tzaddikim, their bodies do not decay, and they come back to life, so l'chor, it's a continuation of the old. whatever was in the past, if the body was tamei nes, and now the neshama just temporarily left and came back, so the body is tamei, the body needs parduma. It comes out that a person that's not that madrega, whose body does decay, turns into dust, and then is revived from the luzbone, from some DNA, it's kekaton shenoyelat, he would not be subject to paraduma water.
Coming from the initial bones.
It's but the bone. It's ponim chadoshos bo'olakah. It's something that's new matter. It's new matter. So this is everything. A tzaddik whose body doesn't decay is worse off to a certain degree. On the other hand, someone that does decay turns into dust and then comes back from nothing into he's a new person. He's ponim chadoshos would not require. On the other hand, there's also a tradition. What?
If we say tzaddik made a mekdamim.
Tzaddikim, so you get that, even to masmeis, okay, so you get involved in these questions. Another interesting issue is that there's also a tradition that even tzaddikim, who have a tradition, whose bodies do not decay, a moment before tchias hameis, and their bodies will decay. Because every human being has to turn into dust at some point in time, even very great tzaddikim. Alright, now here's a shiloh. What happens with regard to these people's wives? It's not a joke. The Tzitz Eliezer, who only died a few years ago, maybe even 2-3 years ago, he died very recently. He deals with the Shiloh. I'll explain to you in one moment. Let's so a person dies, he comes back to life, and does he have to remarry his wife? Or is his wife could say, you know, you were good in when you were alive, but you know enough. We're gonna call it quits. I don't want you anymore. Enough.
Why would he have to remarry? Why can't it be a continuous marriage?
That's the question. He's a new person. He's a new creature. He came back. He died. He came back to this world. Once he died, Misa is matir. The woman once a woman goes free. A woman, you know what they say. In Haguna, they tell when they these old stories, say you get into trouble in the news, you say such stories, but I'll say it anyway, you know, they tell the person, you know, you better give your wife a get. There are two ways a woman goes free. A woman goes free with a get and with Misa Sabal. So what do you want? Is it going to be a get or is it going to be Misa Sabal? So there was Misa Sabal, he died. And now he comes back to life. So does he have to remarry his wife? So it's not a joke. You know why this is not a joke? The Tzitz Eliezer, the people ask, people in the modern days.
A get and death separates them.
A get frees a woman. Death also frees a woman. So just like a get. Exactly. So now if a person dies and he comes back alive, so he's no longer married to his previous wife. If he wants to live with her, he has to marry her again. Uh-huh. If she wants to marry someone else, she can marry someone else without getting a get. When was a Shaila asked? This serious question, heart transplants. Uh-huh. People have literally asked this question, halacha lemaisa, from a Tzitz Eliezer, and he deals with this in a very serious way, as do many poskim, if a man undergoes a heart transplant. He's dead. When they take out his heart, you get involved in other complicated questions, brain death versus the heart, the cardiac, the heart is not meaning, there are people which hold that the ikar is the heart. The brain doesn't count for nothing. The heart is what determines life and death. There is such an opinion. We don't care about stem, but the only thing that counts is the heart. According to those opinions, okay, a man is undergoing heart transplant. They take out his heart. There is no heart. His blood is being pumped to the brain artificially through a pump. In halacha, according, you can make a powerful argument. It's not mamash halacha. The guy's dead. The person is halachically dead. There is no heart. The heart stopped. And now they put in a new heart.
No heart is dying.
What?
It's a dead new heart.
But until they put in a new heart, they took out the heart, they keep the person alive, whatever alive is, alive in the secular world. But halacha, we all know, we've all heard all the halachic shalos, halacha has its own set of rules. Its own set of rules. In halacha, one can argue, and many have argued, he is dead. Now they put back in him a new heart. And look at that, he opens up his eyes, and he remembers everything that happened before, and he's fine, and he's better than ever. Bionic man, he's better than ever. But in halacha, one can argue, this is a geder of tichias hamesim. Isn't that a powerful halachic argument?
It's a big nest, isn't it?
It's a very big nest. So now the question has been asked, I'm not joking. Does this person need now, before he's with his wife, to go back home, yichud with his wife? I have to be mekadosh her. Let's say his wife was an aguna. And they were.
And what if she remarried again?
No, there's a whole. What?
What if she?
Exactly. Again? Well, let's say murder. Okay, let's say your person he murdered someone. He actually stabbed them in the heart, and they were able somehow to take out the heart and is the person chayev misa? And now the person, they warned him, don't do it, and they did it. This you need a bezin for is Reuven called the rotseach. Even though the person is alive and well, because only due to modern medicine were they able to go get the person a new heart, who stabbed in the heart, and they were quick. The doctors were quick on their feet. They were able to put him up on machines, and they got him a new heart very quickly. So, is the person that stabbed him in the heart with hasra? Is he called a ritzeach? Big shaila. Halacha l'maisa, the Tzitz Eliezer paskins that his wife does not need new kedushin. But it's not so simple. Does not need kedushin. And one of the rayas, you want to be right from God, I'll bring you what.
It may not be simple, but it would have been awfully disruptive.
I have no doubt in my mind that if open heart transplants that would be a common occurrence, the everyday occurrence, I have no doubt in my mind you'll find machmirim that will be re-mekadosh their wife. The only reason we have not heard about this is because it's not so common. Okay, it's not so common to have a heart transplant, but if it will be so common, and you'll see, oh, the Tzitz Eliezer, he was makel. I'll be machmir. I found a chumrah. You'll have a ceremony. What's one makar? One of the rayas he brings. No, it's him. So the other side is my matan Torah. We have a tradition that they died. The terror, the fear, the pachad of matan Torah caused them to die. And the apostle Hashem had to revive them with every dibur with tal. And at the end of matan Torah, what did Hashem tell them? Shavu lochem lo'ohaleichem. Go back to your wives. Go back to your wives. And before matan Torah, there was prisha. Hashem told Klal Yisrael, Shlesh mehagbola. What's the pasuk? The pasuk. I'll tikshu Elisha. Don't go near your wife for 3 days because of tumah. Because being with one's wife involves a degree of tumah. I'll tikshu Elisha. And then when matan Torah was over, it was sandwiched with matan Torah is over. Shavu lochem le'ohaleichem. Go back to your tents, to your wives.
Shavu lochem.
Shavu lochem le'ohaleichem. How can Hashem tell them go back to their wives? What about but they died. They died in the middle. They came back to life. They went through. Tarot says no. Tchias hameis and tchias hameis. You come back to your. Okay, another variation in Shalach. There are a lot of different issues. Okay, let's say Tchias Hameis. This touched upon something very deep. This is a very deep idea. Let's say this Tchias Hameis, father and son. Is the son mechuyev in the midst of kibud avoim at the time of Tchias Hameis? Now, it's very disturbing for many people that when a parent is nifter, they lose the mitzvah of kibud avoim. What? Not the same. It's not being mechabed and b'moisan. It's a different dargah. You do mitzvahs. You say kaddish. You learn their schos. You're a good person. So people should say, "Fortunate is this person's father produced such a son." Ein achinami. But it's not the mitzvah, the original mitzvah of feeding them, providing them with shelter and clothing. And people, you lost that mitzvah, right? As you get older, you lost that mitzvah. Will the mitzvah will come back when there's Tchias HaMeisim? Mitzad Echad, well, it's my parent. Mitzad Sheni, it's a different person. It's a different guf. It's different matter. What is the kibbutz? My father, he brought me physically into this world. Right? It's a different person. So believe it or not, one of the answers is an incredible yisod. When you mechabit your parent, what are you mechabit? You mechabit their body. You mechabit their guf. You mechabit their neshama. The mitzvah kibbutz avoim is you're not being mechabed. The physical matter is just a hechatimsa in order to be mechabe the neshama. The neshama is trapped in the body. They have a neshama. The neshama is trapped in the body. So the body is here. The body is here. That is a hechatimsa for you to be mechabe who in their lifetime? Their neshama. Their essence. So of course, Tchiyas HaMeis, nothing changed. The person's parent is here. Oh, it's a different body? That was never the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em is not a mitzvah in the Cheftza. The Cheftza of the parent's body is just a Hechatimsa in order to be Mechabed their essence. And what is their essence? Their Neshama. Where is their Neshama? Well, Neshama originally was in Shemayim. The Neshama, as long as they're alive, is trapped in their body. So the Neshama is here. I now have an opportunity to be Mechabed the Neshama because the Neshama is enclosed, is encased in the body. When there's Tchiyas HaMeisim, it's the same neshama. It's a different body. It's the same neshama. So of course the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em comes back into play. When you look at Kibud Av V'Em in terms of Tchiyas HaMeisim, it gives you a greater appreciation of what Kibud Av V'Em is. You're not being mechabed the body, you're mechabed the person, their essence.
Questions are not so difficult. As soon as Moshe Rabbeinu was back,
it's right. A lot of these things are debated. They are debated. No, but the Tzitz Eliezer, is suggesting. I'll give you another very important example. The Tzitz Eliezer is suggesting that technology has advanced to such a point where it's not so far fetched to say that we have a taste of Tchiyas HaMeisim already among us today. That's what he's saying. It's incredible. Another very interesting example which brings out a lot of lomdus, a lot of shuvas on this. A lot of lomdus is there's a mitzvah to be mechabed a kohen. You give kohen. There are many kohen have many dinim. You have to give a kohen. That's the whole makar of Tchiyas HaMeisim comes from giving truma to Aaron. You give Aaron truma. The kohanim do avoda. Kohanim have a special of giving them kavod, giving them honor. The only reason why Aaron has Kedusha was because he was Nimshach with the Shemen HaMishcha. What granted the Kedusha of Kohanim started with sanctification of Shemen HaMishcha. Every single Kohen today is a descendant of Aaron HaKohen who had sanctification. But if a Kohen dies and comes back to life, that sanctification is gone. There's no physical connection to the first sanctification of Shemen HaMishcha. Every single Kohen today is his physical body is a descendant, was in touch, was in physical touch to some degree with a body before, and a body before, and a body before, going back to Aaron HaKohen and his children that were actually smeared with the Shemen HaMishcha. If a Kohen were to die, and his body were to turn into dust, and then that Kohen would be resurrected, it's a new body. It's a new physical body. That new physical body never had any connection to the Shemen HaMishcha. Does that new Kohen, is he allowed to do Avoda? Is he allowed to receive Truma from Yisraelim?
You don't have anyone eligible.
Well, we'll need Shemen HaMishcha. Well, now, Kohanim alive today are eligible. Because Kohanim alive today are descendants, physical descendants of the Messiah from the Aaron HaKohen. But if Kohanim were to die and come back, will they need a new application of Shemen HaMishcha? This is a tough question. This is a tough question. So there is an approach.
You said the pasuk of Aaron HaKohen takes Truma.
So maybe that means Aaron HaKohen will have to undergo new Shemen HaMishcha. Some and learn it like that way. There's a lot. There's
what happens if you have a coin cut? Can you become a guardian god without Mishra?
Why not? Today, let's say today Mashiach comes today. Can a coin become a coin god without Shema Mishra? Yes, because every Kohen today, can a Kohen receive Truma? Because every Kohen today is a descendant of a Kohen who was Nimshach with Shemen HaMishcha. But a person who dies and is resurrected from nothing, out of nothing, is not coming back into this world as Yelud Isha. You're not coming from a woman. You're not coming from a human being. Maybe you need Isha. So someone to suggest is that there's a difference between the dinim. When it comes to avoda, you need Shemen HaMishcha. But when it comes to other rites of kavod, Neitel Mana Yafe, you don't need. They're a conflicting source. I want to make a lamish achilak. It's a very, very deep lamish. But on the other hand, there is a pasuk that says Zos. There's a medrash, and someone to say the pasuk says, and I'm finishing down. Zos mishchas Aaron mishchas banav. According to Medrash Rabbah, the word zos is coming to address exactly this issue, that the Shemin HaMishcha was done once and that's it. When a Kohen comes back, Tchias HaMesim, it's not required. Zos HaNiyot, there is no requirement. It's only based upon this Zos. That has an implication that when it comes to other mitzvahs, another very question, Yerusha. Let's say the person dies and he comes back to life. Is he entitled to be Yerusha's father? His father has $1 million in the bank. $1 million in the bank. And he dies. So all the brothers are celebrating. Now they get an extra portion because the brother's dead. Now the brother comes back to life. Does he get back his portion? So there's a rise from the Akedah. By the Akedah, Yitzchak died, according to the Medrash. You can't bring a rise from the Medrash 100%. But Yitzchak died, and he came back to life. And Hashem told him, Asher Yetzei Mechalotzecho, Hu Yiroshecha. Yitzchak is the Yoyresh of Avram, even though Yitzchak at one point in time in his life died and came back. So you see that dying doesn't deny you the ability to be Yoyresh. Okay, Reisk, let me leave you with a story, beautiful story from Rabbi Arya Levine. Rabbi Arya Levine, the tzaddik of Yerushalayim, the Rav of Yerushalayim. So when he was nifter, fasting, he gave, if you can go online probably, you can see his kever, his matzeva. It says just his name, the date. It doesn't say very much. And it says on his matzeva, Ani mamin be'emuna shalema she'tiyeh techiyas ha'nesim be'eish she'yal ha'rotzen me'eish ha'bar yisparach shemo v'yis'alo zichro la'ad u'lenetzach nitzachim u'isein davening after the three Ani mamins. That's what it says on his matzeva. He gave a tzava. He wants that to be written on his matzeva. I don't know if he wrote this would be written, but he gave a tzava that anyone that comes to his matzeva should say this. That was...
Who comes to
him? V'yisala Zichro, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'yisala Zichro, in a Chanami, the name is going on Zichro, what it means in the Nusach Yapsi. He gave it Tzava. Because of the Tzava, they actually wrote this on his Matzeva. They wrote Ani Mamin. If you go to Rav Arya Levine's Matzeva in Eretz Yisrael, it says the words Ani Mamin, Moshema, Sheitia, Tchias, Mesim, V'yishayal, Rotz, Mesim, Bo Yishmach, Shemo. It says this. So it was a mice, it was very interesting. So there was a woman who was an almana, had an only child, and the child, Rachmana, the son, died. And she went into an extremely deep state of mourning. And no one can pull her out of this state of mourning. She stayed in the house. The only time she left the house was to go to funerals. She went to funerals. That's what she... And so she went to a funeral with a Levi. She went to the Beis HaKfar. Someone told her, you know, why don't you go to the Kever, the Mispal by the Kever now of Ari Levine. She went to the Kever of Ari Levine. And she saw what it said on the Matzeva. And she asked why. So he gave it Tzavo. Anyone who comes, you should say this. And she said it. Ani mamin demuna shalema shetia tchias hamesim b'yishyal l'rotz hames habari. And it made such an impression on her, the emuna of Tchias HaMesim, that her child will one day come back to life. She was cured to a certain degree. It lifted her out of her state of depression. Okay, we'll stop here.